Attention HR professionals. Are you tired of dealing with poor performance from your managers? Are you sick of having managers run to you for every single little problem? Would you like to build the confidence and competence of your management team? If so, then contact Boss Builders. At Boss Builders, we specialize in building up the skills and confidence of your organization's managers. We do this through our popular Driving Results on-site training programs, our signature program, the Video-Driven Boss Builder Academy, and we even license our course materials so you and your internal training staff can get those managers confident and competent. For more information on how we can help you improve the performance of your organization's managers, contact us today at www.thebossbuilders.com or at 931-221-2988. Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Papa's gonna buy you a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird won't sing, Papa's gonna buy you a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring turns brass, Papa's gonna buy you a looking glass. And if that looking glass gets broke, Papa's gonna buy you a billy goat. And if that billy goat won't pull, Papa's gonna buy you a cart and bowl. And if that cart and bowl falls down, you'll still be the sweetest little baby in town. Say your prayers, little one. Don't forget my son to include everyone. I tuck you in, warm within, keep you free from sin, till the Sandman, he comes. Sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight. Exit light, enter night. Take my hand, we're off to Never Never Land. Something's wrong, shut the light, heavy thoughts tonight, and they're not of Snow White. Dreams of war, dreams of liars, dreams of dragon's fire, and of the things that will bite, yeah. Sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight. Exit light, enter night, take my hand, we're off to Never Never Land. Now I lay me down to sleep, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, if I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. Pray the Lord my soul to take. Hush, little baby, don't say a word, and never mind that noise you heard. It's just the beast under your bed, in your closet, in your head. Exit light, enter night, grain of sand. Exit light, enter night. Take my hand, we're off to Never Never Land. And there you have two contrasting views of sleep. One of the pleasant little infant that peacefully drifts off to sleep. And then the nightmare that maybe you're facing right now as the parent of a young child who you just can't seem to get to sleep. You know, as an HR professional, if you're listening to this podcast, you are already overwhelmed, overworked, overstressed, and underappreciated. You hope to get home at a reasonable hour and not have to answer emails all night, and then blissfully, you can fall down onto your pillow and have a dreamless, sleep-filled night. Until that little child that you have decides they're not interested in going to bed. I know this is an issue. I'm a parent of four. I have been there. And some of you are there right now. Fortunately, we actually have a solution for you. My very special guest, Kristen Deaton, is a certified sleep consultant. She has got some solutions to help you get your child to sleep. She's actually going to be live here in the studio with me. She's got some great tips, and at the end, she has an amazing offer that I would encourage you to take advantage of. You're going to find that not only does the sleepless night impact you, but it impacts your child as well. It's something that we ought to consider. You're going to really enjoy my interview with her. So with no further delay, Let's quit talking about her. Let's meet her in person. Let's talk to Kristen Deaton. Kristen Deaton, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, this is really a treat for me. It's very rare that I can actually have a guest in the studio face-to-face, but I found out through a networking event just a few weeks ago, we are actually kind of neighbors. You are from a smaller place in Middle Tennessee than I am, which is hard to believe, and you suffer from the same challenge I do, which is really poor internet. So we met at a mixer at my now satellite office here in Dixon, Tennessee, and I found out that you are a sleep consultant. And so our topic today is, how do I get my child to sleep through the night? So people may be wondering, why would we be doing this on an HR-related podcast? The reason is, and I think we talked about this, most of my audience tends to be younger women. And younger women, in some cases, or in many cases, have children. And so if you take on top of the fact you're already in a very stressful job, you have very little support, sometimes a very long commute, you come home, hopefully to peace and quiet, and then you have a child that doesn't sleep through the night. Now your one chance to recharge your batteries is gone. So you've got solutions for us, Kristen, and we want to find out what those solutions are. So before we get into the questions, please tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this field in the first place.
Well, I moved to Tennessee from West Virginia about 6 years ago with my husband, and we had a son who's now 3 and a half, but I got into this because I had a child that didn't sleep, and it really was a disaster. It was a 2-year struggle. He was 2 years old before we had a night that he slept the whole night through, and before that was waking up twice through the night, getting up at 4:30 a.m. just to start the day. And it was a ripple effect. It affected every area of my life, including my husband's. We were exhausted, but so was our son. And that was really the hardest part of all.
Okay. So now the solution you came up with, did you read about this in a book? I mean, most great inventions come out of necessity. So how did you come up with this? And then how did you end up getting this title of sleep consultant?
Well, I had read some books, and which is hard to do when you're tired. Mm-hmm. Reading makes me tired especially. So reading books was helpful to a point, but it was hard to really know what to go with and what not to go with, because to an extent, they kind of all contradict each other. It's really hard to puzzle things together and figure out something that would work. And, you know, I would try something for a couple days, it wouldn't work, so I would move on and so on and so on. And I ended up coming across an ad on Facebook that was for the Sleep Sense program. And it put me in touch with a consultant. And from that point on, everything just changed for the better.
Okay, so you connected with a consultant. Now you are a consultant.
Yes.
So you're an expert, and that's really, really good. All right, so let's talk about sleep. So what are some of the myths you've come across about babies and the ways that babies sleep or don't sleep?
There are several myths out there. So just off the top of my head, one that's pretty common is that sleep is a natural development and that it can't be taught. Sure, mm-hmm. Sleep is natural, absolutely. But at the end of the day, everybody wakes up and falls back to sleep multiple times throughout the night, regardless of their age. So, no, you can't teach a child to be sleepy, but what you can teach them is how to fall back to sleep independently.
All right. So that's a big myth, right? It just comes natural, but we can actually work with that. Are there any other myths that people say about sleep?
Sleep training. This is a popular one too. Sleep training is stressful for the baby and can affect the parent-child attachment. This one's hard. To be completely honest, the term sleep training is just, it's not my favorite.
Okay.
To me, it sounds harsh and almost like teaching a child to sleep is something that we're doing to a child rather than for a child.
Okay.
Sleep is biologically required in order to function at our best potential, even for babies. So in a standard sleep cycle, we go through different stages. So even if you only look at stage 3 and 4, Stage 3 is deep and regenerative. It's known as slow wave. And this is where the body starts repairing and rejuvenating the immune system and muscle tissue. And this is where growth and development really sparks in that third stage in a sleep cycle. And transitioning into that fourth stage is REM, or rapid eye movement. And here is where the brain starts to kick in and consolidate information and memories from the day before. And there's actually a quote from Dr. Wisebluth that I really like. And it says, "The purpose of sleep is to weaken or prune the unimportant noise coming into our brain so that the important signals remain stronger."
Okay.
So really, my response to this myth is just no.
Okay, well, that's the best response to a myth, isn't it? It isn't true.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's not just me. I mean, this is the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Journal of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics and the American Academy of Sleep Medicine.
Okay, so there's people that actually know what they're doing that study this stuff.
Yes.
So we're now trying to figure out a better way to put this in place. I'm no scientist, no doctor, but it sounds to me, if what you said is true, could it be that a baby is not going to develop as quickly or as well if they're not getting sleep? Because it sounds like each of those little sleep zones, I think, are there's a purpose to them. Is anything that you've read talk about that? I'm just curious.
Yes, there's definitely long-lasting effects on poor sleep habits. And many things are tied back to emotional problems as a child gets into adolescence, linking back to anxiety and depression, and things that ultimately we just don't want any children to ever go through.
Okay. And I can only imagine that as an adult, those sleep zones are probably going to be the same, right?
Yes.
So now I'm trying to do my job and I'm getting really poor sleep. And I could blame it on my little kids. But at some point, the kids grow up and they start sleeping. So there's even an application for, I would say, adults, big people, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So when it comes to getting your kids in the bed, what are some of the most common challenges that parents face? And I'm sure if we had this live and everybody's calling in, the phones would be lighting up right now, right? But in your experience, what are some of those common challenges?
Honestly, it kind of depends on what age the child is.
Mm-hmm.
Some basic problems as a young baby, an infant, is relying on what we term sleep props. And a sleep prop is really just an external strategy that a baby is relying on in order to fall asleep because the baby hasn't learned how to do that on its own.
Okay.
So props, I really don't like to term them as good or bad. To me, they're there for a reason. They're tools. So a prop may mean breastfeeding or bottle feeding or rocking or a pacifier or swaddling. And it's when those tools become a habit to where the brain now associates this item, this feeding to sleep or rocking to sleep or sucking a pacifier to sleep, the brain makes an association that I can't sleep unless this item is here. And so that's where the teaching can begin with a child on what independent sleep can look like.
Okay. But it sounds like that's what a parent's first reaction is. And I wonder if maybe it's just sometimes coincidence. Like the one night I put my child to bed with a pacifier, they slept through the night. So as an irrational parent, right? Because you don't get sleep, you become irrational. What do you do? Like, oh my God, we got to find that pacifier. So it sounds like that's what the parents actually create. And that becomes part of our problem?
It can. Sleep habits, it's kind of neat when you break it apart. Parents can create sleep problems. They can also prevent sleep problems. And they can also correct any sleep problems that occur. Mm-hmm. So really, it's awesome that the parent has such an important role on the ability of their child to be able to sleep. So even if bad habits have been put into place or there's a major sleep struggle, parents still have the ability to change and correct.
Okay. Well, it seems like that would be one of the fewest learned parenting skills. Because, you know, you probably hear this too. You know, you need a license to drive a car or, you know, buy a gun, but anybody can become a parent. So now you're getting people that have really no clue what they're doing that are learning as they go. And so it seems like you're going to make a ton of mistakes. I know I did as a parent, and I had four. But this one here is crucial, because this sounds like it's got long-lasting impact if you don't fix it then, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you have a quote here, and it says, sleep begats sleep. So what do you mean by sleep begats sleep? So begats, I guess, means like it results in. Is that, that's kind of a biblical word, isn't it?
Yes, it can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sleep begets sleep, but also sleeplessness begets sleeplessness. Skipping naps in late bedtimes will easily impact the next 24 hours, and it can become a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. Overtiredness ultimately results in difficulty falling asleep and staying asleep. Many experts refer to this as the state of overtiredness as what's termed a witching hour. And when this happens, children often act as if they're bouncing off the walls and extremely hyper, when in fact they're just completely exhausted. I know even as an adult, there's been times where I've literally felt too exhausted to sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm just worn out physically, mentally, emotionally, and I go lay down to fall asleep and I can't. And the same thing happens to our children. Overtiredness results in not being able to sleep well. When they go to bed overtired, many times it takes a very long time for them to fall asleep, and it's more likely that their sleep will become fragmented with wakings that are hard for them to get back to sleep.
All right, so we have a parent who is gonna actually put advice to use. What would you tell them when they stop getting results or they don't get immediate results? Because I know there's some people listening today, they're thinking, okay, this had better work because I'm like that tired kid. I am so exhausted, I can't even sleep. I need some results. So what would you tell them if they're not getting the results?
Well, let me back up a little bit. Everything I do is non-medical. I'm a non-medical health professional. Mm-hmm. And so I deal with the behavior side of poor sleeping skills. And the foundation of everything I teach is going to be consistency, routine, and structure. So one of the things I offer my clients when I work alongside of them is follow-up support. And really 98% of the success comes from the follow-up support that I provide. So if it's taking a long time to see results, or a parent feels like they should be seeing results sooner than they are, my advice to that is to just reach out. Okay. Reach out, because that's what I'm here for. And nothing that I do with a parent is what I would term as cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. There's so much that goes in to customizing a sleep plan for a child. And so it may be something as simple as, hey, we need to tweak this awake time in between naps during the day by 15 minutes. And once we do that, bam, there's the results we've been looking for. So sometimes it's a matter of something like that, or maybe it's just a parent needs to be reassured that, hey, you're doing everything right. You're doing everything right. This is going to take consistency and time, and the results will come.
Okay. So if you're listening now and you're saying, okay, I'm in, the good news is Kristen has an offer for you, which will come in a little bit, but I'm not ready to give it to you because I got a few more questions here. So let's talk about naps. You mentioned naps. I can always remember that naps, when my kids were little, were those things you did not ever mess with. And if something got off key for whatever reason, so I remember when our kids were younger, we would drive to see my in-laws. That was about an hour and a half drive. I was like trying to reach over the back seat on the way home, shaking the car seat so the kids wouldn't fall asleep, because I thought you're throwing your whole schedule off. My wife and I had to get up early and go to work the next day. We were both active duty military at the time. There's no just calling in sick. So that was just so stressful. And so naps, now, how did those play into this?
Well, it's interesting because we talked earlier about how sleep begets sleep. So daytime sleep and nighttime sleep, they affect each other. Mm-hmm. So naptime sleep is just as important as daytime sleep. Now, with that being said, that deep regenerative sleep that our children get normally happens before midnight. So daytime sleep doesn't make up for that deep rejuvenating sleep, but they still go together because we don't want to lay a child down overtired. Mm-hmm. Naps are hard. let's just face it, life is busy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm 31 right now, and I feel like the older I've gotten, the more busier it's gotten. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, life isn't ideal, right? Mm-hmm. It's just real. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Okay.
So to me, consistency is key. And so ideally, whatever is happening in one sleep situation, you want to be happening in all sleep situations. Example, if a child is sleeping in their crib in their own room for nighttime sleep, as much as possible, you want the naps to be occurring in the crib, in their own bed, the same kind of scenario. And that's not always easy. Mm-hmm. I know my son, we use daycare, so obviously his daytime sleep situation looks very different than his nighttime sleep situation. But during the day, it's the same. It's the same Monday through Friday, and then when we have him on the weekends, it's the same on Saturday and Sunday. Okay. So it's easy for him to adjust, okay, I'm at daycare, this is what my nap will look like. I'm at home, this is what my nap will look like. And I think first and foremost, parents have to decide that naps are going to be a priority.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when you're old, like me, yeah, you would just give almost anything for a nap. And it's amazing that kids, it's like a battle, right? They don't know what they're getting into. But the good news is you've probably discovered this too, because your child is 3 now?
He's 3.
3. Okay. So are you still struggling with the sleep? Or have you pretty much fixed that problem?
It's pretty much fixed.
Okay.
He's 3, so it's pretty normal for a 3-year-old to kind of transition, you know, from taking one nap a day to no nap a day. Mm-hmm. So there are days where we don't have a nap, and if that happens, we move bedtime up. And other days where he still takes a 2-hour nap, and that's pretty common. So with younger children, though, that nap frequently throughout the day, newborns 3 to 5 months, I mean, you're talking 3 to 5 naps a day. So I normally suggest on the weekends, maybe when childcare is not in the picture, to, well, if you can't make all 3 to 5 naps in the same scenario as what bedtime looks like, well, let's shoot for a solid 2 to 3.
Okay.
Or if there's 2 naps a day, let's shoot for a solid nap a day. Because at the end of the day, like I said, life isn't ideal. It's just real.
And now let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. Attention HR professionals and conference planners. Are you looking for a great speaker for your upcoming meetings or conference? Better contact Mac. Do you need someone who can relate to your audience and deliver a top-notch presentation? Better contact Mac. Are you trying to find a speaker who can both educate and entertain? Better contact Mac. Mac Monroe, the Boss Builder, is a sought-after keynote speaker and presenter who would love to present at your next meeting. His most popular topics are how to be a great boss for audiences of managers and executives, how to gain a seat at the table for HR professionals, and how to avoid ending up for all employees. Mac is a phenomenal storyteller, and his talks are lively, entertaining, and loaded with actionable strategies that will enable your attendees to make immediate positive changes. To get more information and book Mac to speak at your next conference or meeting, go online to bettercontactmac.com or call us at 931-221-2988. And now, back to the show.
Okay, well, that's good to know. All right, so one of our, well, I guess a group of our listeners are probably in one of two categories. They themselves are parents of young children who've had to make the transition back to the workplace. And then, as HR professionals, part of your challenge then, of course, is that you have employees who are coming back from maternity leave, and now there's this transition. We had a really good guest a few months back, Laura Mihalik, who was actually, she talks about this transition back to workplace. But for our purposes now, Kristen, now we go from having a child and now mom's got to go back to work. And now we've got to figure out the nap situation because it's going to be really weird. You're going to have Monday through Friday, probably working late. You've got to manage naps at daycare or grandma's watching the kids or whatever's going on. So what is the most important hack you can share with a parent that is in this situation where they're now having to go back to work? They got a newborn and we got to manage the sleep issue.
There's really a lot that goes into that. So I think And this is a lot more easier said than done. Like this takes a lot of work and a lot of coaching and a lot of working one-on-one together. But laying a child down consistently at the same time every night, having that early bedtime in place, is a really key component. Which is hard because, you know, as a working mom, you go to work all day, you're stressed out, you come home, you may have to do errands, deal with daycare pickups, maybe there's an older kid that needs help with homework, you got to fix dinner or pick dinner up, and working moms juggle a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. They wear a lot of hats. So I think coming home in the evenings and having that structured bedtime routine with an early bedtime is really the key to maintaining a good schedule and getting everyone to sleep on time. And it also frees up some time in the evening for mom just to kind of breathe and recoup. Their child is asleep, getting the appropriate sleep that they need. And now there's also some time for mom to do what needs to be done, whether that's clean up the house, or maybe there were some emails from work that still need to be caught up on. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a time where they breathe and get to sit down and watch a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, here, this is for all the guys listening in, and this is from Mad Mac. Get off your ass and help. That would help the problem too. So this is from a guy that had to pitch in myself. So you have no excuse to sit there in front of the TV with your feet up and a beer in one hand and a bag of chips in the other and watch mom run through the house like a crazy woman. So you help out too. That's just for me. I'm the little devil on the shoulder. You're the little angel.
I second. Right, I may be the angel, but I second your comment.
Okay, good, good. That's what we want to hear. All right. So we have talked about a lot of scenarios. We haven't talked much about strategy, and I'm guessing that's because a strategy is going to be somewhat customized to a particular challenge or event or parent. So let's get to the offer. The offer is, and you have a very big opportunity here, you could get a free 15-minute consultation with Kristen to talk about your situation and then maybe work that into an intervention or a plan or whatever that your offer looks like. So if we take you up on that offer, and we'll get that information in a moment, what can parents expect to learn in that initial 15 minutes?
Okay. You know, since I've become a mother, I've learned some really important things. And two of those things is, number one, sleep is personal. Hmm. And even more than that, beyond that, parenting is personal. And I've also learned that exhaustion is ultimately a state of complete vulnerability. Everything feels so much worse when you're tired. And it's so easy to snap at somebody or handle a situation totally different than you would have if you were well rested. And I've also learned that it's really hard to reach out to a complete stranger about things that are just so personal. You know, growing up, I dreamt about being a mom. It was really one of my biggest dreams. And when it happened, I was so filled with joy and overjoyed. But at the same time, my child didn't sleep for 2 years. And if I'm being super upfront and honest, I actually struggled with his eating for a good portion of that, about 3 to 4 months. Mm-hmm. Babies eat, sleep, and poop. Mm-hmm. So when they're not eating or sleeping, it was really hard for me. I honestly felt like this thing I had been waiting for and dreaming of, I was failing at it. And it was a very vulnerable time for me. So when it comes back to that free 15-minute consultation, it's really a time to get to know each other a little bit. You're talking about trusting someone with things that are so personal. So the free 15-minute consultation is really a time for me to listen to the parent and hear what they're struggling with, and also get to know each other a little bit and start building some trust. And it's a time for me to share how I can help and what solutions I can offer and what that might look like. And ultimately from there, families decide whether or not moving forward is something that makes sense for them.
Okay, so it's a chance to kick the tires. And so if you're listening and are wondering, you know, should I trust Kristen? Okay, she's sitting right in front of me, and I can assure you she is legit, and you can trust her. So How can people find you, reach you, connect with you? This is the big stuff.
Yeah. I have a website. It is www.sleepsolutionstn.com. Mm-hmm. And right when you get to that homepage, there's a button that says book a free 15-minute consultation.
Okay.
So you can click on that button and just follow the links to get to my scheduling calendar and book it right there.
Okay, very good. Well, if you're listening to this, I'm hoping that this at least got you to a point where you realize you were, first of all, not alone, right?
Yes.
And I'm just curious, Kristen, you may not have the stats, do more parents stress with this than less parents? Like if you had 10 parents, how many of the 10 on average do you think would be struggling with a child that's not sleeping well?
I think a very certain statistic would be 40%.
40%. So if you're the 60% right now, you're about to shut the podcast off and go off and do whatever. Everybody else is like, wow, okay, I'm not alone. 40% is a big chance. It's almost half of the population of young parents.
You know, and I just kind of think that's a key. Mm-hmm. It was lonely for me. It was a very dark and lonely season in my life. And I think once I realized that I wasn't alone and that I had somebody in my corner, mm-hmm. and there were solutions, it changed everything. You know, I don't know where the misconception has come from that becoming a mother means that you have to stay exhausted. Mm. Like, this is a season of life that was created to be fulfilling. We're talking about raising little humans that are going to forever impact the world.
Yeah.
It's an exceptional calling. Mm-hmm. And it's designed to be fulfilling. And in order for it to be fulfilling, you have to have rest.
Okay. There's your secret right there. We need rest. Yeah. And then as you're right now sitting at your desk stressed out, you're like, boy, I wish I had nap time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's great. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for making the drive from that small town that is smaller than Van Leer, which is hard to believe. Van Leer, you could blink and you'd miss it. Where you live, you just miss it.
That's right. You just kind of drive past it.
Yeah, I think you guys have the big trash dump there, and there's an old railroad station. That's pretty much the extent of where you live. I won't tell you. We'll tell people where it is. Not that you'd know where to find it anyway, right?
That's right. But a lot of pretty country, though. I will say that.
Absolutely. And so you originally came from with the accent, it was Boston, right?
No. I moved to Tennessee from West Virginia. So okay. I've actually lived in Virginia, West Virginia, and Tennessee.
Okay. All right. Well, not bad states.
Not bad states
at all. Good. All right, Kristen, thank you for being here today. And if you are listening, please check out her website, book an appointment. You will not regret it. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Our guest today was Kristen Deaton, Certified Sleep Sense Consultant. Kristen does have an amazing offer for you, so I would encourage you to reach out to her on our website, which is sleepsolutionstn.com. Get that free 15-minute consultation, and also follow her on social media. She is on Instagram and Facebook at sleepsolutionstn.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And, as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.